So I'm going to start with one thing. I'm going to start with a confession. All right? It's a bit strange, right? The preacher of the day is going to start with a confession. Without showing the slide, who can actually say the prophetic word for 2022? Just shout it out. What is it? Progressive. Preparation. For God's pure and mature church. Now, I'll do the first confession. Last Sunday, right? We only had our New Year's Eve celebration on Friday. Then come Sunday, right? And then I go, what is actually the prophetic word? Literally, right? I know it's progressive, something mature. We know 2021, correct? Greater maturity, increased fruitfulness. So I begin to go, oh Lord, I'm there was a conviction. This is how, when we hear prophetic words, how do we respond? Right? We can sometimes take things casually. I confess first that I took it so casually that I didn't even know what it was, or the different order, God's pure mature church, right? So if we really bring it up, okay, let's declare together, 1, 2, 3, progressive preparation for God's pure and mature church. And today I just want to touch on that one word, progressive. So that's why I got the little title there, progress of maturity, what, why, and how. Now, as Pastor Louis just said in the beginning about, God spoke to me about being mature sons of the house, right? And the first time when God spoke to me about that, it changed. This is after about 10 years being born again. And, God don't just desire believers believers in a religion. Do you know what I'm trying to say? God don't just desire disciple as though student and teacher relationship, right? God doesn't just desire members, members of organization. He calls us what? He calls us sons. He calls us children. There is much more to this progression as we come into knowing who Jesus is, what the Word of God says about who we are, what we have, what we can do. It really spoke to me when he says, you are a mature son of the house, because God is building his house, his church, and we are sons in it. And not only sons, or just children, but he wants us to be mature. So there is a call to be growing, to maturing. This applies to everyone, whether you are 1 week Christian, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, there's always a call to progress. Amen? Amen. Right? And if we go to the next slide, so it's that time of the year. Normally in the beginning of the year, we're fired up. 2021. Okay, who knows the prophetic word for 2021? Greater maturity and increased fruitfulness, okay? So when we hear prophetic word like this, right, what is our response? We can go, oh yeah, that's very cool. Increased maturity, increased fruitfulness, good word, right? Or we can go, I'm not really understand because it's so much big words, okay? If the prophetic word for this year, there's 4 big words. Everyone say with me, progressive. Progressive. Everyone say with me, preparation. Everyone say pure and mature. Those are all big words, correct? Maybe pure, quite small. But again, when you think about what does it mean to be pure? What does it mean to be mature? It actually sinks down a little bit. And to remember it better, there's 3 P's and 1 M. Triple PM. Easy, right? Okay, so y'all can get it now? All right, the prophetic. Okay, go next. Does it apply to me? This prophetic word. It's a bit long to remember. I don't know. It's okay. Every Sunday, I just hear the word. I just, just let it pass. Is it for pastors, leaders, workers only? No. Is it for everyone? Yes. Does it apply to me? Yes. Does it apply to my daily life? Or only on Sundays when we declare it? Yeah. Words like this are very, very significant. That's why I just want to highlight, just from that conviction I had last week about, wow, this word can just pass me by and I'm not receiving the blessings and the fruits of it. Yeah? So how, and hopefully this is not, that's the under negative, right? What we should have, the response is, number one, is go, wow, what a great promise. The promise that God is doing this year is we're going to have progressive preparation for purity and maturity. Amen. Isn't that great? Yeah, Next, God is doing something great. God is doing something great in His church. Am I part of the church? Yes, right? And then last one is, I must take hold of this word. Be serious about it, because, and apply it in our daily prayer as well, right? And as you talk to God, you know, you can use this. And this is the point of prophetic word for the year, because you see, as you expect God doing it in your life, you will begin to see the fruits of it. Amen? And I truly can testify that 2021 was indeed a year of greater maturity and increased fruitfulness. Amen? All right. In the book of Daniel, when Daniel heard the prophetic word from God, from the prophet Jeremiah, he didn't go, oh, yay, we're going to get come out of Babylon after 70 years. He didn't say, if the 70 years will end, we will just come out, right? He didn't do that. He took it and he prayed it to God. He goes, Lord, forgive us, but you are doing something where you are going to release us, your city, your people. So this is kind of the way we should respond. When God releases prophetic words, we take it, but we also take it and pray it back to Him. Yeah, and that's how we see God begin to work in us. So in summary, okay, I'm not finished. Yeah? This is not the end of the Sunday message, but I'm just going to give you the summary. Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, God expects His church to progress spiritually. So with that prophetic word, there's going to be growth. Okay, and that's the point number one I will focus on today. But number two, what else? God wants His church to be prepared. The language in the Bible, is that not more than enough, more than one time about being ready, be ready for His coming, be ready for the coming of the Lord, be ready, right? Number three, God wants His church to be pure, holiness, right? We've learned in our life groups, in our Bible study about there's many ways, but there's the two main ways of how God makes us pure is, number one, everyone say the blood. Okay? The blood of Jesus was shed to cleanse all our sins, plural, the things that we have done, right? The things that we have committed. But God also provided the cross. What is the cross for? To crucify our old man, our flesh. Okay? The body, basically, because sin still resides in the body. Our spirit is born again. If we're truly born again, our spirit is born again, it's holy. But the body, that's where sin, or the nature of sin still resides, that continues to make us, compel us to sin again and again. But God has already given us that answer, right? So these are all just summary. Number four, God wants His church to mature. So mature usually comes out as fruitfulness. And just to summarize fruitfulness, you can say it can be character, it can be a way of having a victorious life, overcoming sin, no more struggling with things of the world or sin or self. Yeah, that's His maturity. So when God releases this word, that means what God is saying is there is divine grace. Everyone say divine grace, for us to grow in this area, right? All these different, to grow in this area. So don't miss it, receive it, receive His face to enter into His rest. Amen? All right? So just like preparation, it's important to ask, what does it mean to be prepared? Why should we prepare and how to prepare? Right? And preparation, like we've seen today's the news about Adrian and Wan Ying's wedding. For a wedding to happen, imagine how much preparation takes place. Right? The wedding is only one day, but it takes like almost a whole year, right? Preparation. So from there, you can also see from the natural, you can learn. That means when we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord, there's a lot of things, right? It's not, when preparation is usually before the thing happens, correct? Yeah. Preparation sometimes takes more than the event you're preparing for, right? And preparation, if not done, you'll miss the event. Yeah? So these are all just summary, okay? Not the point of my message today, okay? All right. So I'll just conclude the summary with this, right? This is what God wants for His church. Ephesians 5, 26 to 27. Let's all read together. 1, 2, 3. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spots or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. All right. So now let's get into the what I want to share today about the progress of maturity. In the natural, when we see babies, right? I've just got two sons, that Levi and Zion there. Levi is 9 months old, correct? All right, Levi is 9 months old. Cute, right? Chubby, cute, right? Imagine if he was 9 years old, but still looked like that. And you, what do you think? You think something is wrong, right? The Bible described this, right? When people that don't grow, that still remains a babe, don't you think there's something wrong, correct? The other thing about maturity is it does not depend on age. Do you remember that sometimes we can say things like, wow, that guy doesn't look or doesn't behave his age. He can be young, but he is so mature. He's mature in his behavior. So it's not about how long you have become a Christian and things, but it's how much you have grown internally. How much have you asked God to work in our lives? So these are just want to get this idea in us, right? That God really looks for growth in each and every one of us. All of us here are from different backgrounds, right? Some of us may just receive the Lord not so long ago. Some of us have been in church maybe many, many, many years. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. The call is everyone should progress. Everyone should go up. The analogy is, you know, the bicycle, as soon as you stop cycling, what happens? The bicycle falls, right? Unless you have wheels. Or the I don't know if this is an analogy in the Bible, but about the water that is stagnant, right? Stagnant water or still water, usually there will be a lot of impurities and growth and things like that, right? It becomes moldy and things. So this is what is the picture that we should have in our life, that everywhere we are in our stage, in our Christian life, we should be growing. Amen? All right, let's read some scriptures from Hebrews 5. All right, you all read with me? Or maybe we'll do this. I'll read one verse, and then you read the next one, okay? So verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Your turn. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Next. Therefore. All right, I'll read the next paragraph. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Next one. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Can you see the language use here? God calls us not to be babes, but be of full age. Not just having milk, but having solid food. So milk and solid food has got to do with the word, right? You begin to realize sometimes the word of God can be hard to understand, which means we are still not that mature to get it yet, right? But when you allow God to work a lot more, you begin to see, wow, the word of God just opened up more. You can read the same verse, but the meaning becomes different as we grow, right? I'm sure some of us can testify of that. Like, you can have the word over and over, but it's not old, right? It's not repetitive because it kept beginning come fresh and fresh to us. And it's got to do with maturity. Amen? All right? All right, another verse here. All right, let's read that one. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 3. So I'll start. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Verse 3, for you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? All right, what's the opposite of carnal? Spiritual, right? I think Pastor Levit just prayed a little bit about, you know, not being carnal, but spiritual, not work of the flesh, not walking in the flesh, walking in the spirit. Can you see there's always this, right? And this morning during prayer time, we had a time of repentance. Even that has a progression. After repentance, what happens? After repentance is faith towards God. Okay, I'll have to do life group all over again. Right? Six foundation stone. After we repent, we still need to progress from there. Okay? Putting faith to not keep repenting, keep repenting, keep repenting. Then that's not progressing, right? That's just going back and having a cycle, right? Next one, Philippians 3. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal or the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Here, this is Paul. Right, Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, he himself said, I'm not there yet. And this is the attitude of someone who will progress, saying, I'm not there yet, God. I know you still have a lot more for me. So I keep pressing on. I keep letting you work in me. Right? The press on here is not about I'll try my best. It's letting God doing it. God, I know you got more, so I press on to what you are having for me. Because one thing that we have learned last year a lot was, if we depend on ourselves, we will fail. Because that's called religious works, right? The difference between religious works is, I do, and then I achieve it. Then God doesn't get any praise. But faith in God, or letting God do it, is, God, you are doing it through me. And because we know how much we are weak in whatever area, when things happen, we give all glory to God. Amen? And that's what's going to happen for this year when we take really hold of this word, this progressive prayer. You begin to see, hey, why am I not behaving like how I used to? And that's how we can detect how God has been beginning that work in each and every one of us. Amen? All right. So what is progression? Firstly, progression needs some kind of direction, right? Because if not, you don't know where you are going. Right? There was once I was talking to a friend of mine and I had the suburb wrong. We all, if you all live in Perth long enough, you know there's Bull Creek, correct? Where is Bull Creek? Is it north or south?
South.
And then there's Bull's Brook. Where is that?
Hill.
That's in the hills. That's north, right? So I mistakenly said, heard Bull Creek, but he meant Bull's Brook. And then I go, wow, that's really far because he lives in the north. But it's like, no, it's not. Because why? My direction was wrong, right? So same with progression. We need to know where we are going. So we have to have a goal because the Bible even says, everyone read with me, without vision, people perish. Okay? Because if you are striving for progression, for growth, then you need some aim, correct? Is that true? Yeah? So I'll go into that aim a bit more later. And at every stage of our own life, this is talking natural, right? Everyone should still have a goal, even if they are retired from work or old of age. Have you ever seen people say, wow, once they retire, you see them grow really old, really fast, correct? Because they stop having kind of something to look forward to, yeah? Because that's how you can get old really fast, naturally speaking. But in the spiritual, I think that applies as well. If we don't aim for something, right? If you don't aim about something spiritually speaking, then we're also going nowhere because you're not aiming for something. The other thing about having goal is we will have a direction to go. Then we will know, are we heading in the right direction? Because the Bible always tells us we are to mature unto, right? From something to another, right? So from childishness, everyone says childishness, to maturity. Okay, that's positive. And I'll just quote some of the scriptures there. You know, brothers, like, do not be children in your thinking. Let it be mature. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. But when we become a man, I gave up childish ways. And then Ephesians 4, talking about don't continue to be like children, can be tossed to and fro by waves and carry about every wind of doctrine. So you're not grounded in the word of God. People say this, oh, you get so worried. Or when people say this, and then you get swayed this way, right? Not mature, right? Children are actually easily, play up, right? You can say something quickly, and they'll just cry for no reason. For example, okay, with Zion, right? If we just tell him, you're not going to have chocolate milk today, right? Okay, maybe you all don't understand because you don't know, right? You just have to say it. He's already like, wow, so shaken. It's like, that is the most important thing in the world, right? Or you just say, no, you cannot eat this, but you have to eat this. Wow, like, okay? Same. Like, if we are just people, words a bit here and there, it makes us shaken so much, then we can see how childish we are. Yeah? People who are grounded in the word of God, whatever that comes in the news and all that, you go, no, I know what the word of God says. Mature. Right? This is one of the signs of maturity. You know that, no, I know what God is doing, right? I'm not going to be carried away by this and that. Amen? Yeah. All right? Another progression, milk. Everyone say milk, to solid food. So what can we receive, basically? All right? Everyone say foolishness, unto wise. All right? The book of Proverbs gives that contrast a lot. And then next one, everyone say carnal, flesh, or self, to spiritual. Hey, the last one, failures to victory. So are we having cycles of defeat in terms of sins or area of sins, or are we overcoming them? Right? Amen? Okay, next one. All right, another one about spiritual progression, 2 Peter 1, 5-9. What do you say? Add to your faith. Right? So even after having faith, there must be additions, growth, in virtue, character, in knowledge, in self-control, perseverance, and so on, right? So what? Again, this language all is about growth, okay? So we go to why do we progress next, okay? I'll read the first paragraph and then you read the next, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4. If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Next one. Jesus Christ. Here, the warning in 2 Peter, first, it's about the adding, right? If we do that, we will not stumble. This is that picture of that bicycle again. If we keep progressing, if we keep pursuing God, then the promise is we'll not stumble. But if we stop, that's when it's dangerous for us. Yeah. So as long as we stop progressing, some of us can say, I'm not too bad, but I'm not getting worse. But that's not what God is looking for. God wants to see if we have progressed. Amen? All right. Next one, about why do we progress? Last week, not yet. Okay, last week, Pastor Ludwig shared about the great contrast, right? Let's read together Isaiah 60, 1-3, 1-3. For behold, shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. So, what this tells us is the great contrast, the great separation, the world will get darker, but the church will get brighter. What does this mean? One of the things that I receive from this is that means there is not going to be an in-between. Where are we going to sit? Are we going to be carried? If we are not careful, this is God speaking to me. If I'm not careful, I'm not taking this word seriously, I can say, oh, yeah, I'm in the church. I'll be okay. But we ourselves can be led and become one of the world to become darker and darker, right? So we got to just really take this seriously, that there is no in-between. The contrast will get greater and greater. Where do we stand? I've been going through the Bible plan about in Numbers. You know, a lot of times God just tell them, look, you are different, Israelites. You are different from other nations. I've set you apart from the nations. You're not like them. You're not like them. So it's just like so good to just listen again, even though it's like Old Testament and it's about Israelites. But I think there is a word that God is just warning to each and every one of us. We are not like other nations. We are not like the world. It is His church, and He's going to make us brighter, stronger, and purer. Amen? Amen. All right. The last one is, if we don't progress, then we're going to have this mixture. Everyone knows, right? From Revelation, you can either be cold or hot. But if you mix together, what do you get? Lukewarm or warm, right? So what is this speaking? Okay, maybe we read that Revelation 3, 15 to 16. Maybe you read 1, 2, 3. Okay, so here is speaking cold, world, hot, God. You don't want to have both because that's mixture, right? Read the next one, the next verse there, 1 John 2, 15 to 16. Okay, so this is the state of the church that God warns us against in the book of Revelation. That a church that has a bit of the world, or maybe not a bit, just have the world or love of the world in them, right? That's not what God is looking for. All right, next one. And the last one, this has got to do more of the heart, right? We won't read that scripture, but the basic thing is God is even just not looking for outward appearance, coming to church, right? Attending this, attending Bible studies and all that. We're not saying that it's wrong, right? But where is the heart? Okay? Because we don't want to have this where when we meet Jesus, Jesus says to us, you did all these things. You did all these things in my name, but I don't know you. So there's two warnings there. One is about our heart when we come to church or doing, let's call it church activities. But on the other hand as well, do we know Him? Do we truly know who Jesus is? Do we have a personal relationship? Because we can sing, right? We can sing into. We just had a time of praise and worship. But God, we don't want God to say this way. You can sing with your mouth or honor me with your lips. We can shout, oh, hallelujah, whatever, right? For everyone to hear. But if your heart is not there, then this is again. So this is a warning why we must progress, why we got to keep progressing. Amen. All right. Can you imagine this? Again, a natural analogy that I'll give you. Okay. Imagine this family or this couple, okay, in a house. The house is spotless, clean, because the husband works hard, provide for the family, come in, do washing, clear up, help the wife clear up. The wife cooks, cleans, okay? Everything looks perfect. But one thing is missing, okay, in this house. The husband and wife never talk. The husband and wife never have conversations, never have relationships. The house can look nice because they're all doing what it's supposed to do, to clean the house and all this. But one thing is, what do you think? Isn't that terrible? So that can be us. We can do all the things. We can do everything that pastor tells us, the Word of God tells us, okay? Because of Isaiah 29:13, we can do things because of human rules. We know all these rules that are there. We do it, but our heart is not there. Our relationship with God is not there. How convicting that can be when we see God. Amen? Yeah? Okay, this is getting a bit gloomy. This is on purpose, right? Okay, now the positive. How do we progress? Okay, what is the answer then? Number three, how do we progress? It's good to know, firstly, where we are at. Admitting where we are at, knowing where we should head, and how we should do it, correct? But the question is always, how? Is it by our own? No, I'll give you the answer straight. It's not by our own, because it's through Christ. The answer has already been given. Christ lives in each and every one of us who are born again. The answer is inside, but whether we want to use the answer or not. So I'll just give a bit of an introduction to life there. Some of us have already covered this, but for those who are not, this is from a book by an author called Watchman Nee. Okay, and it's the title of this book is called Life That Wins. And this is the intro to the book. Okay, we all read together. 1, 2, 3. Do you know the life that wins? Number two, are you ashamed of the kind of Christian life you live? Okay, have you failed so terribly in your striving for victory that you cry out, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Be sure your salvation is at hand. Thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the life that wins is not attained but obtained. It's not a life change but life exchange. It is not suppression, only expression. It is frankly not in you yourself, because it is Christ who lives in you. Galatians 2:20, everyone can quote it. 1, 2, 3. I have been crucified with Christ. Okay, never mind. Okay, I'll just stop there. All right, I do have the verse afterwards, right? So the basic answer here is it's in Christ. We win through Him. We win by allowing Him to work in us, because if we depend on ourselves, if we strive, if we suppress the negative, we will fail. If we try to change our life, it will fail, because it's meant to use the new life that Christ has given us. If we try to attain it, rather than taking it or obtaining it from Christ, the victory, the answers, we will also fail. So this is basically the summary of the book. Next. Then the second half. 1, 2, 3. The life which God gives you. Sorry. You believe. Sorry. Okay, 1, 2, 3. The life which God gives and you receive at the time you believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, is such a life. It is a life that overcomes sin, provides intimate communion with God, and is full of satisfaction and power. Wait, stop there. Is that the life we desire, firstly? Is that really, really what we want? Okay, I'll explain why I really emphasize that. Okay, it is already in you, waiting to be explored by you. The secret to us is to let go of yourself and let Christ live instead of you. This requires a childlike faith. Then you shall more than conquer through Him who loves you. So let go and let God, right? Let Him take control. Are we willing? Okay, so we go next one. All right, these are some of the things we should evaluate. This is chapter one of the book, right? For those of us that think we're okay, then let's use this. But in the end, we need Holy Spirit to convict each and every one of us in whatever areas we were to grow, okay? But these are some of the lists, right? You don't have to read. I'll just say sin of the spirit. You can see the example there, right? Number two, sins of the flesh. You can see the example there. Number three, sins of the mind. Number four, sins of the body. Okay, overemphasizing on the carnal, on the natural. Number five, sin of disposition. In practical, right? People say, I'm just like this. You know, this is my makeup. I can't really change. It's how God made me. We can use this kind of excuse, right? Some people can be chin chai. Okay, sorry, that's a lingo in Malaysia or in Chinese to say anything goes. It's fine. I'm. You know how you meet some people say, nah, it's fine, it's okay, right? And we like to be friends with this kind of people because, you know, they're cool, you know, nothing will face them. But they can be to that extent that when it comes to spiritual stuff or spiritual standard, they also go, it's all right, you know, don't be so holy, holy, right? Okay, this is also maybe things that we have to repent of. On the other hand, you can be strict, strict, strict. Do you think Jesus is strict all the time that to the point there is no joy? There's no humor? No, right? Okay, Jesus gives us like, freedom from sin, that to the point we have joy in our life. Amen? Right? So let's keep going. No heart to keep God's word. Number 7, failure to render to God his due. Okay? And number 8, unrepented of sins that require confession or iniquity. So these are just, I'm just going to show this quickly so that we see. But in the end, the point is not to go this list and say, do I have this? Do I have this? Do I? It's ask the Holy Spirit. Because in the end, if he is going to do that work, he will tell you what he's going to work first or what that is wrong in each and every one of our hearts. So it's very important to look to God for this. Okay? And we talk about New Year's resolutions. How many have done this? You know, I will do this, Lord. Sorry, Lord, I have not done this. But I will do this year. I will read Bible more. I will pray more. Right? It's not about that. Because how many can see those? You'll fail anyway. Okay? It's not, it doesn't last long. But it's about having God to work in our hearts. Change from the inside. And you will see naturally things begin to go easier, right? And that's when you know God has really worked in our life. All right, so I'm just going to give the conclusion now. All right, so the conclusion is, everyone say with me, a life of victory, or progression is possible. Okay, don't say that I'm too old, too young, too this, too that. It is possible. That's the promise of God. That's what the prophetic work first tells, that God is going to do this, so it's possible for each and every one of us. Amen? Number 2, be honest to God and not deceive ourselves. This is where we say repent. We acknowledge where we're at. Lord, I know I'm not there yet. Right? We have sin. But when you do that, you allow God to work in us, walk for us, right? Walk through us. So some of us, next one, be hungry for the victory. You say the red words? Because, why? I say this example again and again in my life group. My life group has the most children, I think. I think we have, but yeah, because there's 6 of them plus 2. Yeah? So, again and again, I tell them this. I say, okay, boys. Oh, not me, I target the boys, right? How many of you want to give up your games so that you can spend more time reading the Bible? Wow, they're all, yeah, sure. I was like, is that real? Yeah, of course, yeah. I said, do you really, really, really want to give up your iPad time? Because then you can spend more time. You see where I'm coming with this, right? Because they can say it, but deep down they're like, actually, no, it's quite nice. I want it. And I'm not only targeting the children. This is just an example, but for us, we can also have sins or area of weaknesses that we enjoy so much that we actually say, oh God, help me. But then you just go back to it. And then because you enjoy it, right? So we don't want that, because if you are not desperate or desiring to grow, then you can pray whatever is the same. I think one of the Christian movies was describing it. Sin is like this. It's like an open prison. The door is open, but because you enjoy it so much, you just remain in there. The answer is already there. Christ has done all for you to escape it. But because it's so nice, the world is so nice, the darkness is nice, so you remain. So let's check each and every one of us again. When you say, Lord, I really struggle with this, but then do you really want to give it up? Do you really want to win in this area? Yeah? Progression. Everyone, what is the opposite of progression? Regression, right? Okay, there's a bit of English there. But is staying the same also, it's not regression, staying the same, but is that also an opposite of progression? Yeah, because you did not progress, correct? Technically speaking, yeah? All right, so desire that. Okay, next one. So this is where the answer comes, yielding. Everyone say yielding, yielding. Or let go. Believe and let God. Okay, so we got to, okay, just fire up everything here. So receive the victory in Jesus, where we are to ask and to wait for him. If you want a surgeon to work in you, what does the surgeon do first? Put you to sleep, right? Because you're about to be worked on. Spiritually speaking, if we are always running about, doing things here and there, how do you think God will work? Right? It's like the patient that moves around. Do you think that's the kind of patient that surgeon wants to work on? Not really, right? Can you imagine that? So one thing that we've learned a lot last year is about waiting on the Lord and asking. This is how we say yielding and receiving. How, practically speaking, how do we do that? Literally, then we have to quiet ourselves. We have to let God work. We have to use time to let God work in us. So this can look like this. You can just sit on your sofa, whatever your favorite chair in the house, and you literally say that, Jesus, you are my, whatever the problem is, the answer, right? So for example, maybe you are quick-tempered. Okay, so you say, Jesus, you are my patient. You work for me, you work through me, and you work in me. As you declare this, as you say this prayer, and then you just wait to receive this, you will begin to see God working in you more and more. And then after you've prayed that, you thank and praise Him for the victory. You daily declare this, right? Use words of God. Use Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with you, Jesus. Or you can say, Jesus, when you were crucified, you have included me in it. It's now no more I live, but you are living through me. So Jesus, I'm letting you live through me. So these are practical ways that we can actually do. And we will do this how we end the service. We'll do a bit of waiting and receiving from the Lord. Okay? So this is how we start progressing. This is how we do it. We start first with that desire to grow, but then we ask God to give us the grace to complete it. He will do it through us. Amen? All right? So there's the one verse there. Okay? This verse says here, okay, I'll read one and you read the next one. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Next one. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. All right, so can you go to the last one with the two other scriptures? Okay, so I've explained about how using Galatians 2:20 to pray to God. Ephesians 2:4-6 as well, you can use this. You can say, Jesus, you have seated me with you in the heavenly places. When you are seated in the heavenly places, you are in the good position. You are in the winning position. Amen? Yeah, so you can use this. You have to confess this because if not, then the how will just become just theory again. I know I have to let go, but how do I actually do that? I know I have to let God to work with me, but how do I actually do that? So we're just going to practice that now as we have the worship team to come. Okay? And this is something that I've practiced as well. And we begin to see, right, truly God working. Truly that God has worked. That when we just quiet down, and we say, God, I'm receiving the answer from you. You are working for me. We see God begin to work in us. So again, it's not about us. It's about Him. Amen? Do the I will be. Lord, I test for you. I will be. Okay, as the worship team. So you all just remain seated. Just relax. You're in God's presence. And remember, even though we're doing here in church, and it's always easier when you're doing it with everyone around, but this is something should be done daily at home. Because or everywhere you are, at work, you can have your quiet time, right? People can be working around you, but you can go, okay, Lord, I'm just going to quiet down, and I'm just going to be conscious of you. Because we know that God has sent Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit is in us. So God, you can work in me. Right? So whatever you are going through today, I will just declare that God has outpoured His Spirit and He will do that work in you if you allow Him. So as we sing this, you will, what I'll do is we'll sing the song a few times. Then after that, the music will go on, but you just quiet and be in attitude of receiving. Be in attitude of receiving. Right? One thing that Zion likes to do is daddy carry, daddy carry. And he doesn't want anything. He just wants me to sit with me right? And I hold him, and that's all he's doing. And just imagine that. Imagine our Father God so loved us. He's holding us. Not only he's just holding us, but he's doing a great work in all of us. Amen? Because he is the answer. We don't struggle. The more we struggle, the more he can't do anything. But when we be still and we just allow him, he can do that great work in us. So just relax. One of the things I know helps practically is smile. Because sometimes you're like, wow, I'm so conscious. And then you begin to stress. Just smile. It's your Father in heaven. You are his delight. He's looking forward to this. He's looking forward a time to be with you. Right? So we just do this for a while.